Sydney Morning Herald's chief sports writer, Andrew Webster. Good morning. How are you, Webby?
Good morning, boys. Good to be joining you.
Hey, Webby, I've got one question for you, mate.
Yes?
Would you like to come to Clarkie's 40th, or would you like to report on the 40th?
Both.
Clarkie, would I be
Webby's invited. Webby's invited for sure. There's a handful of journos I'd invite. Webby's definitely one of them.
We go a long way back. I remember doing stories on you, Clarkie, before you even played a test match from memory.
Yeah, I remember. Yep.
There you go.
Well,
there you're
a cricket journo, Webby, as well, weren't you?
I was a bit of an everything journo when I used to be at Inside Sport. That would be, Clarkie, that would almost be 20 years ago, mate.
Yeah, I know. Don't remind me.
Time flies.
How quickly it goes.
Things change pretty quickly, too, in the world, and we've seen what's happened with this coronavirus, and we've seen what's happening with rugby league. Bring us up to date with what's the latest, Webby.
I'll try and bring you up to date. It's a story that changes by the hour, by the day. You know, rugby league is doing all it can to get back as soon as possible. It's got all these contingency plans in place. They're going to be it's going to be like the bubble boy out of the Seinfeld episode, boys. That's what rugby league trying to become. They're all going to be in bubbles, and they're going to be in bubbles all over the place, and hopefully get back as soon as possible. Peter Volandis, the chairman, who we talk about almost every week on this show, has become front and centre of rugby league's attempt to get back on the field. Is very aggressively trying to get the game going again, and reports in the Herald today that he's going to consult another pandemic expert or an infectious disease expert to try and get back on the field. Suggests that he's looking for every avenue he can to get the game going again and get broadcast revenue going again. I think the issue is very, very complex. I think it's whether or not league should start up sooner than later. It's a very emotional issue. And to be honest, I'm not entirely sure what the answer is. I've done a very rare thing in my column in the Herald today and actually sat on the fence because I just think it's tough. It's you know, who am I, who is still working and drawing a wage and a good wage, to say that footballers shouldn't be doing the same? I think it's up to, I think it's up to the government. I think it's up to the health experts at government level, and I think it's up to the various experts that the NRL use to make that decision. But that said, I also understand if I was someone who had lost my job or my business had collapsed, I would be very, very concerned if rugby league got a free ride or got special preferential treatment ahead of me. And I'd also be concerned if some of that, if there was any indication that those players, whether they're in a bubble or not, whether they're playing on an island, whether they're, you know, whether they're in four or five different hubs, which I think is the model that they're looking at and that they're keen on, if that was going to help spread the disease. So I just think rugby league needs to be careful and cautious about how it goes about trying to belligerently get back on the field.
Webby, are these dates realistic? Like, I feel like on, you know, at night I sit and watch the news and I see the Prime Minister and the Australian government give us stricter rules about what we can and can't do. But then in the morning you wake up and hear on radio or read in the paper or watch on the news that the NRL is saying, come July 1, it's game on. I feel there's we're a little conflicted and there's a little uncertainty around, is this just talk or is this realistic for the NRL?
I think it's I agree with you. I actually spoke to the pandemic expert who told the NRL to stop playing. So I spoke to her on the condition of anonymity. She was very, very reluctant to speak. I went through the NRL and finally got her to speak on the condition of anonymity. And I had a 15 to 20 minute phone call with her, with Todd Greenberg on the line. And my whole attitude towards this crisis flipped on that phone call, because what she had to say was quite alarming. I find it just tricky, and I don't want to sit here and bash up Peter Volandis all the time, but he's very aggressive and he's great for the game in the sense that he's doing everything he can to save the sport, and that's admirable and commendable, and it's something that, you know, people in rugby league and the sport should be very, very should be very grateful for. That said, I don't think you can be talking about, you know, her expert advice not coming to fruition after just a week. I think it's too early. I spoke to her again this week after her advice was pretty much slammed by the NRL publicly, and she said to me by her email, she said it's too early to tell. It's going to take 2 to 4 weeks. It takes 2 to 4 weeks to see whether measures that are put in place in terms of lockdowns and self-isolation and social distancing and all that type of stuff actually is working. So I just think I do think the dates are speculative at the moment, and I'm not entirely sure that it's helping because we're hearing maybe May, June, July. I've spoken to people on the Innovation Committee, right, and they keep telling me the new NRL's Innovation Committee, and they are their communication to me is that they are putting all these scenarios in place in the advent of them being able to play. So they're being prepared, but to think that this is definitely what's going to happen is ridiculous. It's very, very speculative.
But wouldn't the NRL be taking advice from the government as well, Webby? And the government have advised that sport is allowed to continue. Is that right?
Well, they grounded the competition on the basis of the pandemic expert that I'm referring to. Now, after a week, they don't really particularly like her advice. And if you read the story in the Herald today, they're going to another expert. So I think they should take in all the advice that they can.
Right. If we move forward and league starts again, are you happy for the league to start with State of Origin? Or do you think that they should just tread nice and carefully early on and just get the NRL competition up and running?
According to those on this innovation committee that I spoke to yesterday, their belief at the moment is that they should start with Origin and show to both the government, the community, the fans, anyone else, the clubs, that they can actually quarantine 40 players and staff in the one area. So they want to use Origin as a bit of a guinea pig to start with, to show that they can do that. It'd be pretty. It's different, isn't it? But I suppose that's the softly approach with Origin. So,
and would that be Sydney? Would it be Brisbane? Would it be
look
Adelaide?
Again? I see reports today that they're talking about using Sydney Olympic Park. The people that I spoke to, like the person that I spoke directly on that innovation committee yesterday, said Sydney is persona non grata. They think Sydney, because of the infection rate, is somewhere they'd want to avoid, and that they would look at regional areas in New South Wales.
Webby, as far as the pay deal is concerned, it looks like Clint Newton has secured some pretty good terms, particularly in regard to transparency going forward.
Yeah, they have. So this was supposed to be struck on Monday of this week, but the RLPA and the players certainly balked at the last minute. The thing that stopped them from signing off on it was the suggestion that the NRL wanted to blow up the CBA. They wanted some guarantees around what the salary cap would look like in the next couple of years. They wanted some guarantees around current contracts and the life of those contracts, even if the salary cap takes a whack over the final 2 years of the deal, which is 2021 and 2022. I think the deal that they got in terms of money is exactly what was on the table a week ago. But the whole thing for me, boys, just shows you the level of distrust between the players and the NRL. That said, the NRL's copping it in the head from all directions at the moment, and in many cases that's the case. But I think there needs to be, and people are running certain agendas against certain people, and that's fine. That's what's been going on in rugby league for years. But there needs to be a little bit of perspective and a little bit of truth put out there. So, and I look at something like that retirement fund. So there was a massive blow-up from the players about why there was $10 million missing from the $30 million retirement fund. That was a miscommunication from their own union, because under the terms of the CBA, That money didn't have to be completely in that fund until the end of the deal in 2022. So the issue isn't with the NRL, or shouldn't be with the NRL, even though it was. It should be with their own union for not communicating what the terms of the CBA are. So, you know, I think there's been a little bit of devious information getting out there about the way things have gone on. That said, I find it quite interesting and hilarious, and it's typical of rugby league that everyone's sort of pointing the finger about where the money is and why we don't have the war chest and who's to blame and Everyone's to blame. Clubs are to blame. The NRL's to blame. Player managers are to blame for spiralling costs for a game that's been living well beyond its means for a long, long time.
Yeah, one of the things that got the players' backs up, Webby, was Todd not taking the same pay cut as the players.
Insane.
In retrospect, should he have taken the same cuts?
Of course he should have. I could not believe when that figure got... So all these numbers get... There's like a, I think I might become a chartered accountant by the end of this whole thing. I'm just a dumb footy writer.
Careful what you wish for.
Oh, okay. There's all this... Look, there's so much. These are really complex issues in terms of one, infectious diseases, and two, the finances of the game. But that was a no brainer. So when that number got spat out to me by someone at the NRL before the announcement came out about the NRL executive only taking a 25% haircut compared to the players who were taking 46% across the whole year, I went, do you really think that's gonna roll? And then for Todd, again, who I think has been unfairly and wearing absolutely all the blame for all of this, but he deserves some of it because he has been the CEO for 4 years. So when he backflips and goes, oh, okay, well, I'll take the same pay cut as the players, it shouldn't have got to that in the first place. So, yeah, as I said, there's been a real erosion of the trust between the NRL and the players and the clubs that's going to be there for some time at a time when the game should probably try and be united to try and get through this.
Webby, one of our listeners has texted through a question for you. Why did Frizzell leave the Dragons? I hear he didn't like the culture. What are you hearing there as far as the final reason as to why Tyson Frizzell has agreed to terms with Newcastle?
I think I said on this program way back when Tyson Frizzell was linked to other clubs that sometimes you can just tell when a player has been at the one club his whole career or mostly his whole career. In Frizzell's case, you can just tell when they want to move or they need to change. I think he wasn't happy with the instability in terms of the CEO. I don't think he was entirely happy with some of the roster choices. And I think he just needed a change. But that said, though, boys, what that deal will look like, considering we don't know what the CBA is going to look like, the salary cap is going to look like next year, is another question. So I don't think he had any control over when it came out. It was pretty unfortunate timing that it came out last week as rugby league was in chaos about its future. But yeah, I'm a Dragons man. I'm not happy to see him go. I want to be. Believe me, when the dust settles on this, I'll be asking some harder questions about why they've let go of their best forward.
Mm. I hope that tab account's full for the racing tomorrow.
Oh, God, I'm so glad to wake up this morning and see it's not raining. I was so worried that it was going to get called off.
Yeah.
Mr. Seawolf in the Doncaster, boys. There's
Webby's tip. Mr. Seawolf in the Doncaster, which is a $12 chance with Dab. On you, Webby. Have a great weekend, mate.
Thanks, guys.